In Genesis, in the 32nd chapter, we find Jacob and a story that many of you all will be familiar with, Jacob wrestling. You've heard this story, yes? If not, it's okay, you're about to hear it. Now, some things happen before that, and in that same night, and that's why what happens in verse 22 matters. In your own time, check out all of chapter 32. I begin at 22, the same night, that same night. He got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children. He crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket. Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The word of God for the people of God. I have seen God face to face, yet my life is preserved. For some, this moment is proof of contradictions in the Bible. Some use this scripture. After all, in Exodus 33, doesn't God say, "No one shall see me and live"? What is Jacob talking about? What does he mean he has seen God? Who would have the arrogance to claim this? Who would be foolish enough to taunt God in this way? "I saw you and I lived." This week we're in the Caribbean. It's a difficult place to focus our attention as a people, because to do that is to look at a region and to confront our colonialism. To hear the names of islands, beautiful islands, St. Martin's, St. Bartholomew, Aruba, Jamaica, places you've been, places you really want to go. It is to hear these names and to recall years of Portuguese and Dutch and French and Spanish and American subversion of a peoples, the denial of cultures, the erasure and disappearances and the genocide. It is to transform a culture into a vacation spot. Sergio said to me and Ellen and others as we were planning this month that we are more than Spanish and tacos. That's the whole sermon right there. To transform a place into a vacation spot. Where are the whitest beaches in the world? Where the music serves as a backdrop to a much slimier reality underneath. Where the people on their own land have been subjugated and turned into workers in resorts. Where climate change has created the conditions of 155 mile per hour wind. The hotter the air, the more tremendous the storm, as the Dothraki say, it is known. And we, the developed world, have participated in the race to heat the air as fast as possible. We now know that in our privilege, we can change the weather. "No one shall see me and live," says the Lord. We created the hurricane, and then we created the conditions for death after the hurricane. Says Jeff Goodell, who wrote this in a Rolling Stone article in magazine, and he wrote about this in an article in Rolling Stone magazine last month. The perfect storm is called. How climate change and Wall Street almost killed Puerto Rico. The banks, he describes, lent to Puerto Rico, and when they could not repay, this was years ago, they did not forgive the debt, but showed themselves to be predatory lenders. Puerto Rico had to cease building and repairing its infrastructure, which has to happen every few years, just like that's the reason why construction's always happening on the Dan Ryan, right? Every few years, we got to go and make the thing stronger, right? But in Puerto Rico, they could not do that because they had loan sharks out there in the waters. Puerto Rico had to cease building and could not pay back what has become a $70 billion debt. Now, with a weak infrastructure, now combine a weak infrastructure and a corrupt utility power company called PREPA. PREPA, any Puerto Rican here, PREPA, you already know that they just wince. It's a bad name, which is because it's owned by the government and they have rates that are twice as high as here in the States. But it's government owned. We created the conditions for a weakened state, maybe, some say, so we could swoop in and rescue it at pennies on the dollar. Some folks say that. Then, after creating that, we created the conditions for a storm that would topple it. And the narrative is the people are miserable. There's a strategy to that, even in liberal circles, especially there among folks that want to advocate for people the most. Somehow, to make the need for advocacy more compelling, the people must be miserable. Have you ever noticed that? It happens in this Rolling Stone article. The first quote from a Borriqueño is, "The whole territory here is suffering from PTSD. The whole territory. It is a race to make everyone so sad so that the suffering can be real, so that your misery will cause a deeper compassion. Every black boy on the south side of Chicago is suffering and uneducated and sad and mad at the world. Not that's what's going on, but that's who they are. We add to the suffering of those suffering already so that we will see nothing else but their suffering." So what have we heard in our media? How broken Puerto Rico is. How despondent immigrant communities are. Communities that then want to help. Communities like us say, "Oh my goodness, look how sad they are. Let's help them." But elsewhere, communities that don't want to help and are looking for a reason not to help say, "Well, if that's who they are, what's the point of helping them?" We have to be careful of how we paint people, is all I'm trying to say. We have to be careful, not because empathy and compassion are not compelling tools for transformation, but because sometimes it's not true. It's easy to play up the oppression of others to get us more active, but be careful of how in talking up oppression that we don't play into it. And sometimes it's just not true and doesn't need to be true. Every block on the south side doesn't need to be riddled with violence for us to know that there's a real problem, amen? And it's connected to the drug trade. Almost exclusively the violence in Chicago is connected to the fact that Chicago is a hub for heroin. And every Puerto Rican doesn't need to be despondent before we say, "Hey, why do we tax them just like they tax us, but then treat them like second-class citizens? What's up with that?" Because the truth is more complicated and more illuminating than that. Our own lives tell the truth. When we are going through something, we sometimes feel the reprieve of good days, don't we? We are not always sunken low, but let somebody tell us something they're going through, a friend of ours or a family member. Almost afraid to bring it up in front of them. "Hey, how's it going? How's that thing going?" Bring it up every time we see them, because that's who they are. And we wonder why people don't talk more and bring up their abuse more. Because they don't want to be seen as "this is all that I am." Because even though it's not true for us that I have good days sometimes, it must not be true for you because you're suffering. Their suffering has overcome them. Except in Puerto Rico, there's just one problem, y'all. It's just not true. The last happiness index, I've talked about this before in a previous sermon, the survey that determines well-being based on people describing themselves across the globe says that Puerto Rico is the 15th happiest place in the world. You don't want to know where America is. We not in the top 15. It's the happiest Caribbean territory by far. In 2006, with billions of debt, double-digit unemployment, violence, it was the happiest place in the world in 2006. Not other people describing them, not travel guides describing, look how great Puerto Rico is, not us describing them, them describing themselves. They were saying about themselves that they were well, not that nothing was happening. There was a great dissatisfaction about their financial lives. They talked about it in that survey, individually and corporately, a real frustration. But even including that, I know it ruins the narrative, doesn't it? The late night infomercial loses its oomph if the kids don't all have flies around their mouths. But try to believe that it is possible for someone to suffer and still find meaning. Try to believe without lessening their suffering to still find joy. I have seen the Lord face to face. This is no small statement for Jacob. He had been wrestling. His body had been broken. It seems like he moves from struggle to struggle to struggle. The man with whom he wrestles never says, "I am God," or even, "I am an angel of God." Jacob chooses to see God in his wrestling. He doesn't even defeat the man. He does not win the wrestling match. He simply perseveres for his blessing. And he walks away limping. He doesn't even get the healing. But that there may be no blessing in this, no point in this, he refuses to allow this. Jacob names God where God does not announce God's self. There's no inclination of divinity here except that Jacob insists upon it. Now, I am not suggesting that suffering comes from God. This is one way we have used to relieve the pain of suffering, to justify its existence. This must come from God. Howard Thurman said that saying God is in a place will often cause us to say that God created this place of suffering. But you must never believe that. That's not what I'm saying. That is our way of medicating the fear of being in that place, the fear that something is amiss, the fear that we are amiss. It is our way of dealing with the mystery of suffering, of succumbing to the contradictions of life. God must want this for me. But do not let God's presence mean God's responsibility. God is with us in the wrestling with man. God is with us. God is with, but God is not responsible for. It is up to Jacob to see God when God will not announce itself. Here I am, and to insist upon God's blessing, and we must do the same. This is not cheap joy we're talking about, church. The kind that's expressed by some people who say, "Look, as long as I'm alive, I'm blessed and highly favored." No, this is a joy with a hole in our heart. This is joy when we are tired. I don't mean that everyone who says that is being cheap or false. I mean that some people pretend to be happy because they feel they should be happy, because that's what it means to be Christian. That if someone sees them sad, it'll mean that God isn't real. But in my wrestling, I have seen God. Not I have never suffered. In my wrestling, in the suffering, I feel the presence of God. I'm moving too fast here. I get excited though, y'all. Jacob's blessing isn't his healing. He continued to limp after that experience. His blessing is that in his suffering, he has the chance to experience God. What I pray for is an end to your suffering, whether it be physical or financial or social or psychological. As your pastor, I pray for that. As a church, we work for that. This is what we do. But I also pray that you will see God somewhere in that suffering, so that God does not become simply a God of healing and saying yes to you, but that you will see, like Jacob, blessing in its many forms, transformation in the midst of, and that you will find within yourself the creative resources to respond to the contradiction of life in a way that is constructive, in a way that is affirming, in a way that is non-medicating. What I pray for is that you will meet God face to face. Well, Pastor, it'd just be easier if you would just use your special powers and fix it for me. Well, if I had special powers, church, I promise I wouldn't hold them from you. The truth is, I'm learning like you. The truth is, I'm learning from Puerto Ricans and Haitians and Dominicans and Cubans. I'm paying attention to their response to suffering. I'm learning from Vima and Sergio and others, to their response to suffering, their response to oppression, to their response to denial and subjugation, and how they are saying that their faith is sustaining them when the government will not. That we would have a faith that could weather a hurricane and say, I have seen God face to face. Yet my life is preserved. I am learning from a place with $70 billion in debt and still has 500 festivals over 365 days. How y'all do that? That's three festivals on a day sometimes. The question for us, though, is how do we find God in crisis? How do we find meaning in our wrestling? There are many strategies. One could write books and then write books about those books. There's some that say that there's no need to find God because God is always there. Just know that God is there, and that is the essence of faith, knowing. I've been alongside more cancer patients as of late. Some very, very close friends of mine. It's been hard to watch them in that journey, and they know. They know. And they suffer. They know, and they suffer. And it's not some intrinsic or hard-fought knowledge that is the key to seeing God. When I ask how they see God in their wrestling, one person told me, as many have in this church, I see it in community. I see it in the people who are around me supporting me when I can't support myself. The folks who are walking me in to the clinic when I can't walk. The folks who are calling and checking on me to make sure that I'm okay. I see it in community. The people around me, they are my blessing in my wrestling. We need to look for and turn to the people around us, going with us in the journey, open ourselves to having other people go with us. Some of us are going through stuff all by ourselves right now. There are some folks that love you. Let them love you. Howard Thurman's advice I love. He says to strip the experience bare. This is a tough one. Strip the experience bare. Don't consider your emotional response to the situation. Don't look at blame and fear, and do all you can to strip the experience. What is happening right now? What is happening right now? What is happening? Just say it. Just say it. I'm afraid. I'm lonely. I'm sick. I feel shame. I feel guilt. When we strip the experience, all that is left is who we are. And then the possibility of vitality awakens itself around and within us. This is what Jesus means when he says to Peter, it's your faithfulness why you can't walk on water. He strips the experience bare. You don't believe, and you've used every excuse instead of just saying you don't believe. Find a way to tell the truth to yourself. And you will, even in great sadness or shame, experience God. Look to people around you. Strip the experience bare. Love and truth, truth and love laid before us. We are artists. We are artists. And we must, however creatively, find life, find ourselves, and find God in our wrestling. When Puerto Ricans sing, it's not because they're naturally happy. That's what some people say. They're just a happy people. It's called the Latino boost. It's a real thing. But please don't ever think that or say it out loud. And if you do, don't tell them you come to University Church. It's because in their wrestling, they have found community. It's not that they have found God and now stop struggling all of a sudden, but in their struggle, they have found God, and they are still alive. We are still alive. Think about what you're going through. We are still alive and wondering where our blessing is. I have gone through such great suffering, and I'm wondering where God is. I have been strong, I have persevered, but where has God been? Listen to us. We have been looking inward. Look around you. What has killed others has spared you. Amen. Who would have the arrogance to claim God, seeing God and brag about living? The person like Jacob, who has felt all the pain that a person can take. He didn't see God, he felt God. He summoned God into that experience, and he was convinced in his wrestling that God was there. Are we? He wasn't bragging, he was offering his praise, even in the midst of the struggle. Are we? Use this simple silence to move from submission to insisting upon your blessing. In your wrestling, insist upon your blessing. It is not far from you. We have all seen God face to face, one time or another, and did not know it. Amen.